So yeah, and we're focusing specifically on the Shittas Rashi, that the higher level of Betochen is the Betochen of Tomei Tzivu Hashem Elokecha. Whatever happens, we accept. The higher level, which we've set up tonight, is the Hachona. The lower level, which is the Hachona for the higher level, is you get whatever you want. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Tzadikut Tov Lo, that's Torah Shemot Shoresh Miksav. We're focusing on Rabbi Akiva, which is Tzadik Viralo, and Torah Shemot Peh. And we're focusing on that being the Betochen that we need in this period called Ikvus El Mashicha, the 2,000 years of darkness, as opposed to what was needed in the 2,000 years of light, with the 2,000 years of Torah. We're on the bottom of Daf Kuf Pei, Betochen B'do Ikvus El Mashicha.
The Kana was done in the previous generation.
No, yeah, we're in the higher level.
The Kana was done by that.
In the 2000 years of Torah, Baruch Hu dealt with us in one way. Now he's dealing with us in another way. The only way we're able to go through what we're going through now is because we went through what we went through then. That being the tikufa of Moshe Rabbeinu Tzadik V'Toyiv Lo, and now being the tikufa of Rabbi Akiva, which is the tikufa of Tzadik V'Ralo. That was Anoich Hashem Asher Hitzivcha Meretz Mitzrayim, and now we're dealing with Anoich Hashem Asher Hitzivcha Meretz Mitzrayim.
For us, now in the microcosm, I expect there to be some sort of
to a certain extent, yeah, we're dealing with the macrocosm though right now. We're not dealing with you as a specific. Right now we're looking at Klal Yisrael. We're looking at the Chosen and the Kala. We're looking at the Kodesh Baruch and his relationship with Klal Yisrael. Shir Hashirim v'Klalut. How this fits in on the microcosm, on the tracky level, we'll get to. Excellent observation. Even on the microcosmic level, by the way, you were there and you stood at our Sinai and you went out of Mitzrayim. And as we said yesterday as well, we have a Tudah. We have a document notarized and signed, authentic document, okay, that tells us what happened before. So even if we weren't there, but of course Baruch Hu told us that you have my certificate of what I did there. We have a Torah, and we have a Pesach, and we have a Haggadah, and we have Pasha Shmois, and yes, we knew what happened there. So we understand all the miracles that happened, and we understand the Tekufa of Tzadik V'Toyiv Lo, not just because we understand it theoretically, but because it's being drilled into our Kishkas. So even on the microcosmic level, that's what we spoke about yesterday, we have the certificate that tells us what happened, and we trust that certificate. Got it? Weiter. When a Jew lives with this level of betochen, who ain't nichnas, the panic gambas money makashim beyosef. He doesn't ever get into panic or go away. Now you don't have to cover if you're there already. Don't make me shout. He doesn't get into panic even in the most difficult situations. HaBetochen Mesayelo LaHashrei Shalva. Betochen enables him to be tranquil. Simcha VeEmuna BeBeisu. And for him to bring him to his home. Simcha VeEmuna. He brings him to his home. The most difficult situations, he walks through the front door, is a sea of tranquility. Yeah. On his way home, he gets a phone call from his boss saying, God forbid, Rahman Islam, don't come to work tomorrow. Yeah? And he walks to the front door, not knowing how he's going to feed his family, not knowing what's going to be, and it's a sea of tranquility. And we're in ideal mode here, gentlemen. I'm not talking about where we are, but you at least have to know where we're going. That's where am I holding? Okay? How am I going to get there? Good! But at least first have to know what we're supposed to be, where we're going. Hashem says, you can do this. We can do this. If we couldn't do this, it wouldn't be demanded. Understand? It's not possible. sea of tranquility in the midst of the most gambas money makashim the yaitzer. And a Yid knows that money makashim the yaitzer is not just a sort of owner. Yid don't know what it means, kashim the yaitzer. We saw yesterday a Jew being beaten to death by the Nazis, Yamach Shmob. Yeah? In the midst of taking the blows is a sea of happy tranquility. How do you do that? I don't know. When we find out, I'll tell you. But that's my deal. How do you start getting to this level? Where have you gone about doing it? No. Get in touch with Rio. If you want to go somewhere, you better find out where you are. It's no good knowing that you're going to be in Tel Aviv and you don't know where you are. The kunst of a GPS is it knows where you want to go because you tell it, right? And it also knows where you are, because they know where you were, it wouldn't be able to work out a, you know. The satellites aren't working, it can't help you, because it doesn't know where you are. And then the next thing it does is it plots the best course. The first thing you've got to find out, once you know where you're supposed to be, you got the phone call. They want you at 12 Ben Yehuda, yeah? God forbid. But, so now you know where you've got to be. So how'd you get there? I don't know, put on a GPS and let's go. Where am I? Get really deep in touch with where you're holding this sugya. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed and disappointed and shocked about where I'm really holding. I mean, that's not the end of this. This is me. Now this can't be me. I'm actually holding higher than I think I am. Don't con yourself that you're in Bnei Brak and you've only got a 10-minute drive. Could be you're in a lot and you've got a 5-hour drive. Doesn't matter. It's very disappointing. I know. You might even miss, you know, the shops might be closed when you get to Tel Aviv. I know. But Matthias says I'm in a lot. Because if you don't get in touch with who you really are, you're never going to get there, I promise you. Whereas if you really take a good, healthy time out to discover who you really are, you've got a brilliant chance of getting much closer to that goal than you ever have otherwise. Once you've worked that out, then just find a strategy. Then get in touch with you need a map, okay? Then you ask people, you know, there you're nearing to the 48 ways, yeah? Gospel 2A does it, I don't know. You want to know somebody who the world's crashing and falling and he doesn't know, whoa, whatever, and he told me I've never missed a night's sleep. Don't lose sleep. I call it Tova, I call me Shamayim. You have to pay back $100,000 Gemach tomorrow. Why aren't you looking for the money? Because I don't need it now. Why should I hold money today that I don't need? But I need it tomorrow, I'll get it tomorrow. Does he sleep tonight? No problem. Does he sit in morning seder, learn the whole morning seder without flinching? No problem. Why? And when it comes time to make ishtadlis, oh, you make ishtadlis like there's nobody else helping you. That's a mitzvah. No, the mitzvahs we do beautifully. The mitzvahs properly. But what's the man who does it? You see somebody that can do this? Fine, help him. Maybe he's got whatever. Start working out a map. But nothing starts until you know who you are and where you're holding. And you could be holding where you have a complete nervous breakdown when you go to the fridge and there's no milk for coffee in the morning. That might be where you're holding in terms of this sugya. Okay? That's what I'm holding. That's not good, it's not bad, it's not okay, it's not okay. You're not going to get a rubber stamp from your, you know, gold star from your third grade ready, because that's not what this is about. This is... That's what's real. That's what is. There are Jews, you know, who smiled while they're taking blows. And the Jews that get freaked out because Hashem didn't give me milk for breakfast this morning. You know, my wheat toothpicks are going to be eaten dry. And that's not... I've 3 days I've just added... I can't function. Okay. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're much better off than thinking, who, me? I'm a big Baal B'tochen. Whatever, Hashem, throw whatever you want. I can handle it. Knowing that you're a one, you know, knowing that you're a 3-pound weakling in this area is the biggest gift you'll ever give yourself. I'm not accusing anybody of any. I'm just saying, even, I'm feeling. You've got to know who you are, and you've got to take time out to get in touch with us. The call.
Huh?
You better dive into Hashem. You better, because without Hashem helping you, you ain't ever going to get there. You have to dive into Hashem for every breath you take. Get it? Anything you want to achieve in spiritual growth, you avoid it for sin, you have to dab into Hashem. What? Because if you think you can do this on your own, then you're missing the plot, especially in Hilchot Tevilin B'Tochet. You know, if you're letting Hilchot Tevilin, you know, you might be able to get away, you know, with thinking that you can do this without Hashem. Because Tevilin's really got nothing to do with Hashem anyway, and well, yeah. But when you're letting Hilchot B'Tochet, are you going to do that without Hashem? I mean, you just missed the whole plot. The whole chat of Yochus B'Tochen is it's me and Hashem, and I can't do anything without Hashem. Now you better double it. Hard. You ever seen the atheist prayer? Yeah, Aisha Torah's got a thing. It wasn't Aisha Torah's invention, it was the guy that came to Yeshiva. Explain how he became Shum. And the thing that he said at the Kaisal was he coined the atheist prayer. Let's have a look at our honest view, Dabin Kosset. That city is so beautiful. So beautiful. Let's have a look, I don't want to ruin it by paraphrasing it. You said that in your city, actually. Every morning, just look at it before you go Dabin. Talk to Hashem like he's real, like he exists, like he's listening, honest. You know, I'm going to find my tefillahs, you know, like adorned with a lot of stuff that Kol Baruch Hu knows is Mamash Narishka. You know, but come on, Shu, why are you talking in poetic, you know, why are you waxing poetically? You don't speak like that. It's not a conversation with me. It's like if I talk to my father in the third person. He said, come on, what are you doing? You know, you're mad. You know, we talk to Hashem like, you know, like he ain't around, like he's not real. You know? And talk to Hashem like you're in conversation with somebody who's real. Don't read this atheist script. Beautiful. That's how you're supposed to talk to Hashem. Yeah. He's listening. He cares. He's interested. Some doesn't come to Amud like that.
Get stoned.
I think once heard somebody dubbing from Ovid like he was having a conversation with his tati. There was Rebecca once dubbing, yeah, he was in Ovid. He once dubbed, we had a marriage upstairs, and he dubbed from Ovid. But there's no Chazar Sashat. But just his Kaddish and his brochers and whatever, it sounded like somebody was talking to his tati. Never been struck by that. Okay. וכל הזניים וכל המצובים ברוכנס ובגשם יש in all different conditions and situations, both in Ruchnias, and Gashmias. Gashmias, we know we have to have a talk here. But Ruchnias? There's a kich of Eitzim Yoni Beruchnias as well. You have to be very careful of that, eh? He doesn't suffer from quivers and trembles and tears. Me'atekef leiv u'mikol asim batumim symptoms amafim es b'nai d'raydu. He doesn't suffer from, he doesn't have to pull on his tongue and he doesn't have to, he doesn't suffer from all the whatever the botherings of this, the stress that plagues our generation. The night of Lakat, Hatik Shoret. This is so important. Hatik Shoret, the communication media, the newspapers, and the politica. Doesn't touch him at all. Totally irrelevant. Who has the bitters or oils or color in a mighty mutual of container storage? He knows in reality that none of the problems that are plaguing the world are monkeys on his back, excuse me for stealing from the 1 minute manager, meets the monkey. You know, there's a book, 1 minute manager? Yeah, wonderful book. And that'd be a 1 minute manager. Then there's a second follow up called The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, where a monkey represents a task. Anyway, good managers are people who have no monkeys on their backs. They're people that don't have any tasks. Everything that comes in gets sent out to the person that's supposed to do the job. His job is to make sure everything gets done by everyone supposed to do it. The task never sits in his desk. Every task is a monkey that shouldn't be on your back. That's the basis of the book, yeah? So too, yeah. The Iranian nuclear crisis is a monkey on my back. Why? I don't think you should know about it. I'm not saying you can't use it when you're giving shirim and golis, yishmal, to mechazak people, to your children. But why is it a burden on my back? I need to know about it so I can dab it into tshuva, okay? But why is it a burden? It's a tool for me to use. Huh? And I know, and I'm aware of it, and therefore I daven and I do what I'm supposed to do. But why is it a burden? Why am I not sleeping at night? Why am I panicking? Why am I shaking in terror? Now, having said this, I just want to finish the paragraph. And we have to have a little bit of a little how are you, which I always do when we get to this place. We'll get there. Your question is. The world's problems are not on my shoulders. You see what this means? Who chay the shoulder betochen, who lives with happiness, with tranquility and betochen, who tzayin yad v'yadim abayis barach, who's walking hand in hand with Hashem, v'yodoi sh'abayi yaseh satoi v'yos abayi, with the knowledge that Hashem is giving him its best for him. As we get closer and closer to the future redemption, this aspect of tzadik v'ralo is going to get worse and worse and worse. More tzoros and more tragedies, Rahman and Islam, are going to be with us all the time. All those problems out there are just a sign that we're going higher and higher. We're on a higher level. We're able to withstand it, otherwise we wouldn't be getting it. Shalom amnam ro'im l'amoy b'nisayinus kashimayin v'kavla b'simcha. Then we're able to withstand these difficulties, and not just withstand them, but to do it b'simcha. K'kol ha'chayshek itgaveh b'olam. As it gets dark and dark in the world, and if you ever notice, guys, it's pretty dark out there. If you think there's light out there, wow. There's nothing worse than a kid who grew up in a machsan that didn't know what light was. He doesn't even know that he's lacking light. So he thinks it's normal to be in dark. That's who we are. We think Times Square is normal. We think the schmutz and the tumah and that, we think that's normal. We think not even about something that's normal. We're like a kid in a dark basement who doesn't know that there's a sun outside. Alain l'chush sha'ala nechnasim p'nima. We're going deep and deep into the inner circle with the Hashem. We're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where we go. Anu chayinu HaKosh Baruch Hu levadu megalim es abo seinu alo. We live with Hashem alone and we reveal our love for Him. Now, you have to know something. Before you go anywhere, you can get into a big mess here. I'm just warning you now. You can get into a terrible mess. I'm saying this because this is what I got from my Rabbi. This is the shit of the Brisker Rov. I heard this from a Pinkus. I heard this from a Rebbe. Rav Shach said this at the Briskerov's Hesped. Rav Shach said the Hesped for his Rebbe, the Briskerov, he said over this idea. You have to know this and you have to take this with you. Because you can get into a lot of trouble, and I'll show you what I mean. Rav Shach came to the Briskerov, Erev Rosh Hashanah. He said this over the Hesped. And the Briskerov was very, very torrid, very, very, let's say, I don't want to use the word about Briskerov, it's not Shach, but appeared to be very panika. Panic. So Rav Shach said to him, I'm paraphrasing, okay? What's bothering the Rebbe? Rosh Hashanah. He said, yeah, but it says in the Midrash, you know, there's a Midrash that says, why do Klal Yisrael get dressed in Shabbos clothes and Yontif clothes, and we make a Yontif and we eat Yontif Sudas, and we got a mikveh and we cut the air, we make a Yontif in this. Why do we do that in Rosh Hashanah? Because the Tuchen on it. We know that everything's going to be okay. We don't do Rosh Hashanah knowing that it's all going to be fine. As I state in Midrash, yeah? So Rav Shach quoted the Midrash of Briskerov and said, what are you worrying about? State in Midrash. Betuchin anu. So the Briskerov said to him, how do I know? How do you know what? The Midrash says, Betuchin. What do you mean, how do you know? Because the Midrash says it. So Rav Shach said to him again, because the Midrash says it. He says, but how can I be sure? So Rav Shach was good enough of a Talmud to know that he wasn't understanding something. He didn't ask the question again. The Briskerov said, I'll explain to you what I'm worried about. There's a Gemara that says, Shaila Malachas Hashoris LaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Malachim asked LaKodesh Baruch Hu, why doesn't Klal Yisrael say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Why says the Malachim do the Midrash that we're making a Yom Tov here, and on Yom Tov we say Hallel, why aren't we saying Hallel yet? Answer the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sifrei Chaim Amavos Poteach Lefonai, V'Heim Oim Shira. The books of life and death are open in front of them. They're on trial for murder. They don't know what's going to be. What did you say? Shira? Hello? To the Midrash that we're talking. There's a Gemara that says there ain't bigger uncertainty than this. There's a major machlokes here between the Midrash and the Gemara. What's pshat? It's pshat. Said the Brisker, the most moedic pshat you'll ever hear. Take this away with you. It's no steer to what we're saying here. It's just got to be a hakdama to what we're saying here. Is when the shalva kicks in. It starts with something before, which we've been saying in the whole sefer, but I just want to condense it here so you have this clear. Say the Brisker of like this. There's a piyut that we say, some kid is that, Rosh Hashanah, called Kesa Malchus. It says, I don't know the exact words, I don't know the exact words, but more or less it says like this. In Kas Alecha Alav Olai Nisgaber, if your anger will overwhelm me, Hashem, Ebrecha Mimcha, I'll run away from you. Says the Biskarov, where does a Jew run away? When he's running away from Hashem, where does he run? Says the Jew, Eilecha. Ebrecha Mimcha, Eilecha. I'm running away from you, Hashem, where am I running? To you. Like a little child, yeah? The father's trying to give the child a patch. Where does the child run to get security? He runs to his daddy. Yeah, there's no one getting your patch, he gets scared. Where does he run? He runs to hug daddy. He's scared of daddy, so he runs to daddy. When a Jew is running away from Hashem, where are you going to run? It carries on, it says, and I'll hide away from you, Hashem. Where do you hide away from Hashem? Zitzilecha, in your shadow, Hashem, I'll hide away from you. Says the Brisker Rav, when a Jew is running away from Hashem, he's terrified, he understands he has a real serious problem on his hands, and he realizes that, then he knows he's got to run to Hashem, so he runs to Hashem, then he's betuchim. Then he's in the state of, oh, I've got a matati, I've got to worry about it, everything's shalva. But if you don't know you've got a problem, if you think everything's okay, then you're really in trouble because you're not going to run to Hashem. Person has come off the problems, right? So what does he say? Shalom. Me? I have a problem. Hold on a second. Who gave you this panasa problem? Shem. Why you got panasa problems? The tooth fairy gave it to you. The Shem gave you this problem. How are you going to get out of Hashem's grip if you don't get Hashem to help you? Who else can disentangle you from a knot that Hashem made? Oh dear Shem. See, first have to realize you have an unsolvable problem and that your mother shall ask in danger. Panasa is not a poshut thing. Hashem Yazor! I have a real serious problem and I'm running away from you, Hashem. I'm dead terrified of this problem. No, when you've got a problem and only Hashem can solve, where do you go? You go to Hashem and you scream to Hashem. Hashem says, I'll help you. Okay, fine. Now I'm good. Now I'm relaxed. And the people, the son, the Biskarov, that escaped Nazi Germany with the Biskarov, when open miracles were happening, and by his own testimony, he was holding on the level of Ein Oid Nevado. He was relying on the Toch of the Ejachim, with someone holding on Ein Oid Nevado, no one could harm him, and they had miracles upon miracles that the Nazis managed. People were getting slaughtered left, right, and center. The Biskarov was traveling first class on the Siberian Highway. They were living in 5-star hotels in Moscow, escaping with Shanghai, with the Miri Yeshiva. And when they were traveling from Warsaw to Poland, they were getting stopped at all the roadblocks. The Biskarov's car was waved through. When they did stop them once, they took the Biskarov's son's gold watch back off him. And they were mumish in a deathly matzav, and suddenly some general came and said, let those people go, and he gave him his watch back. Then the man says, if you hold a man, they can't hold him, they're going to take your watch away. People arrived in Warsaw without legs, without arms, Rahman al-Islam. The Biskarov son arrived with his gold watch. And you know what the Biskarov, how was the Biskarov, where were the travelling? Shalva and Simcha, not a problem in the world. His son said, he was telling him, what are you doing? Why aren't you davening? They're coming to kill us. Don't you understand? The next roadblock, they should kill us. Why aren't you davening? The Biskarov wasn't the shalva and whatever. The Biskarov knew we have a problem here, and you have to recognize the problem. You have to deal with Hashem. Once you're dealing with Hashem, you have nothing more to worry about. Tranquil, calm. When they stopped him at the one roadblock, the Biskarov went and stood quietly on his own, looking very tranquil. And then the Nazis let them go, he got back in the car, he said, I slipped from the level of Ein Oid Nevado, that's why they stopped us. So I went back, I got myself back to the line with the body, and I knew everything would be all right. Got back in the car, off we went. 1 second. If a person has a problem, he has to recognize and own his problem. He can't just fling it onto Hashem Yazor, and you have to go screaming down onto Hashem. When you've done that, you don't have anything to worry about. If you go to your father and you say to him, "Daddy, I need to borrow $1,000. He says, "I don't have it on me today, come past tomorrow, I'll give it to you." You don't worry about where you're going to get $1,000 tomorrow from, right? Your father says, "I got it in the safe, I don't have it now, come past my office tomorrow, I'll give it to you." So you're not going to sleep tonight worrying, where am I going to get $1,000 from? As you walk out to dad's office, you're going to finish time. "I know what's going to be here, I need $1,000. Your father just says, "I'll give you $1,000, it's fine. But if he didn't know that he needed $1,000, he didn't ask his daddy for the $1,000, now you better be worried. Because where's $1,000 going to fall out of the sky? You have to go and dive it. That's the Tochen. The Tochen doesn't mean I don't have a problem because Hashem's here. The Tochen means I have a problem now because Hashem is my problem. Hashem will help me with my problem. That's... I'm not saying that to eBay. I think he might be saying something different. But I'm just telling you what I got from my Rebbeim, and I find practically it works much better than just saying everything's fine. Because not everything's fine. There's a real problem here. I've got to remember, I've got a sick child. What is that? It's not the way the Gedolei Yisrael conduct themselves. You go ask Charles to Gedolei Yisrael about what I should do, that tell you from this doctor and go, "Yeah," and have you spoken to this one, and you've got to make your status, and you've got to daven and daven, then you know, Hashem, once you're doing everything you're supposed to do, then you can be regular and tranquil, and whatever happens will happen. Yeah? But you have to know this. Don't get stuck in this modality of if you're not, especially if you've done a reality check of where you're holding in Betochen, and your reality check indicates, you know, that you're the guy with a problem with the milk. Then you can't just turn around and say, "Oh, Hashem Yazor." The one who said Hashem Yazor when there was no milk. You know, you've got to know who you are, yeah, before you start. You have to be dealt with enormous seichel, okay? But once you know that you've spoken to Abba and Abba says, "I'll help you," then you can go on the beach and everything's fine. What are you worrying about? You can come home with a smile on your face because I'm imamim them and a shlema, and then it's all from Hashem and everything's fine.
How do you know when your daddy tells you?
In Achinami. I'm running away from Hashem. Where do I run to Hashem? But the Briscoe said, if you're not running away from Hashem, you're not going to run to him. You have to recognize you have a problem. That's the goyim, that's the catalyst for you to go scream to Hashem, because what's going to help you and save you is you turn into Hashem. Recognizing the problem comes from Hashem gets you to turn to Hashem. If you're on a level, which is I think what he's talking about, yeah, he's shortcutted the system, I think. I don't know. What I'm getting from the Sefer is he's saying that it's partial. That when the problem comes on you, you've already gone through that. And you're holding by, this is from Hashem, so therefore it's going to be fine, because I've already turned to Hashem. We're talking in an ideal state. I'm talking about us down here, that you have to first recognize I have a problem, recognize it's a serious problem, give it to Hashem, then you can be chilled. Then you can lie down in the shade of Hashem and everything's fine.
I don't understand the noise of one survivor. Because then you have to recognize that there's a problem with you, and you've got to take it upon yourself. You've got to live that problem. You can't just take it up a shoulder and tranquility and say, "Oh, you know, I've got a shoulder to take control." Of course, you can take control. But the essence, you've got to.
What are you asking when an Ani knocks on your door and says, "I'm very hungry, give me some food," you say to him, "Listen, my boy." The reason why you don't have food is because Hashem organized it. And that's what's best for you. Wait a second. No, not because of killing him. There's a real question I'm asking. Based on what we said here, you're supposed to walk into two problems. Yeah? So you've walked into the one which is called Ishtadis. That's why the next chapter, I think, is Betochen and Ishtadis. And the one afterwards, I'm not sure the order, is Betochen and Tfilin. Because if you understand the Sugya properly, you have the following kasha. It's all from Hashem. So Ani knocks on my door and he says to me, I haven't got any food. So what do you think? I'm not saying you say this to me, that would be callous. But what are you thinking? Hold on a second. This is the best possible thing for this guy. Hashem's got lots of food. Hashem could feed him. The fact that this guy doesn't have food, the best possible thing for him. I'm not going to mess up his Olam Haba and give him food. One second, that's the next stage. You understand that? You're 100% right. So what can I do? The Torah says, if someone knocks on your door, give him food. What does the Chesed say? One second, that's the lowest level of doing Chesed, by the way. What's a Jew supposed to do? The Berkertsons gave a share on this. You know, there's an Indian Torah that everything that's osir in the world has a mutter way of tasting that isser. Yeah? Like a rice is osir, so have a wife. Chaz is osir, there's a fish apparently that brain tastes like chaz. You want to taste chaz, go catch the fish, eat its brain. Yeah? Where is kosher apikosis? I want to be an apikosis. I want to have a taste of what it means like to be an apikosis. Where were we? Sorry. So this is an opportunity to have a taste of Kosher Pekoyos. When somebody knocks on the door and he's hungry, yeah, you pretend there's no Hashem. No Hashem. Who's Hashem? What Hashem? You see, if you're going to help this guy, because, well, the truth is, you know, you're drowning in the river, and really that's the best thing for you, otherwise Hashem wouldn't have thrown you in there in the first place, and therefore I'm going to mess up and, you know, I'm going to mess up Hashem's great plan, yeah? Well, the guy's sick, so why is he sick? Because Hashem says he's sick, he has to be sick, so I'm going to heal him, you know, I'm going to interfere with Hashem's world. So the only reason I'm jumping into the river is to save him, because the prophet says, L'famal al-dam rechon. Means I'm a cult to God. I'm not really going to go help this guy. But what can I do? It says in the Torah, I've got to help him. It's like I'd love to eat chazer, but I can't, because it says don't eat chazer. So the reason why I'm saving this yet is because I don't want to save him, because that's messing up with Hashem's eternal plans. What can I do? State's impossible. I have to go and save the guy, yeah? You understand that's not the way we're supposed to be doing things.
I'm not good.
So I'm saying at the intellectual level, even though that makes perfect sense, you understand there's a problem here, right? So the Lakudiya is when someone's drowning in the river, you become an apikairus. There's no Hashem here. Forget about Hashem. You go save him because there's a Jew drowning, and you better save this yid, because if you were drowning, you'd want somebody to save you. Yeah? And you wouldn't want someone to say, why?
What's the problem?
If you're drowning, hey, buddy, yeah? Say to Hashem, Yichud, that's the best thing that could ever happen to you. God knocks on your door, he's hungry, say to you, the best thing, you know how much Hashem loves you? Yeah? If Hashem's not giving you food and you're hungry and you've got a family full of starving children, that's great! I'm such a big Baal B'tochen! Don't be a Baal B'tochen in other people's flesh. You've got to feed another person's pain. Do you know why? Because Hashem does. Hashem comes to the hospital and heals the sick, and Hashem clothes the naked and feeds the poor and whatever. Kakshehu rachum, kainata rachum. B'tochen is about me and Hashem. That's my little, that will keep repeating. The tochen is my little cheder yichud im Hashem. Copy everybody else, what Hashem. Well, you have to help that again. You need extra food now, because you've got to feed another family. So now that's back to you and Hashem. Where am I going to get all this food from? So you better go back into your little cheder yichud and talk to Hashem. Now you need a lot of tochen. But copy him, he has no Hashem in the world. If you don't help him, no one else is going to help him. That's how you get the emotions in place. And in marriage it works like that.
Well, I don't know how I can do it. You're not supposed to.